committee process, and they will serve when a development agreement is approved by the City Council, they will serve as a facilitator for its eventual development. This is a partnership project among a number of bureaus. In addition to PDC, the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, also in my portfolio, plays a very key role. PAM, which stands for Portland Arena Managers, will be a proposer for the future of Memorial Coliseum, and their proposal will be on equal footing, no more, no less, with all other potential proposers. PAM will work with the city and PDC regardless of whether PAM's proposal is selected for Memorial Coliseum. If it's not chosen, then PAM can still work with the city and other proposers to integrate Memorial Coliseum with the redevelopment of the entire Rose Quarter, or PAM can decide it doesn't want to redevelop the Rose Quarter, at which point the city can decide to go it alone. So this is about getting ideas on the table and having a transparent and diverse and broad-based stakeholder advisory committee sort through those ideas. In fact, beginning on Tuesday, September 1st, we will be inviting all Portlanders and beyond to submit their ideas, beginning with the future potential and better use of Memorial Coliseum. So Portlanders, get your creative thinking caps on. And I know over the years I've heard some incredibly creative ideas for the future use of Memorial Coliseum, and this is the chance for everyone to weigh in. In terms of the overall timeline, reviewing ideas will happen in late fall, and top recommendations will come back to the City Council in the spring of 2010, and by the fall of 2010, we hope to be coming forward to City Council with firm development plans. In terms of funding, $5.4 million is already dedicated in the Oregon Convention Center Urban Renewal Area, which is what the Rose Quarter, in which the Rose Quarter resides. That is already budgeted for this project, and up to $24.9 million in additional urban renewal funding is possible. The private placement of a zero coupon bond by the PAM or its affiliates, of which 30% will be required for affordable housing. Expansion of the interstate URA is possible as well, with the agreement of the Interstate Urban Renewal Advisory Committee agreeing to this as one of the possible expansions. We will, as part of this, also be creating a separate but integrated Veterans Advisory Committee, Veterans Memorial Advisory Committee, that will either improve the existing Veterans Memorial as part of the future use of Memorial Coliseum, facilitates one option, the second option, facilitate development of another Veterans Memorial, or move the existing memorial to an equally or more attractive and accessible site. So we will be involving veterans in a separate task force on that. That's a bit of an introduction, and Commissioner Leonard and myself have two proposed amendments that I'd like to consider up front before we consider the entire thing. My amendment is as follows: whereas the city, PDC, and PAM will strive to use local goods and services and contract with local businesses throughout the construction, design and construction process and in the operation of the revitalized Rose Quarter.
I fear I gave my amendment to Commissioner Fritz earlier. So, and you read the first?
Second one.
And I read the second?
No, you read the first.
I read the first. Whereas the city, PDC, and PAM will engage interested stakeholders and current users of the Memorial for Coliseum, including the Portland Winterhawks, throughout the public process.
Moved.
Second.
And seconded. Council discussion, please call the roll on the amendments.
And these are amendments to the resolution.
Correct.
Because when that's done, I have some questions at the appropriate point on the memorandum of understanding.
Okay.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Amendments to the resolution are approved. Staff come forward. Who's coming forward first? Kia? Hello? Skip? So are there any, we're going to hear from some invited testifiers, but before we get to them, I wanted to know if there are any initial questions on anything. You had some questions on the MOU?
I do.
Okay.
How you doing, Skip?
Good.
Good. The in reviewing this, and I'm sorry, Skip and I have an ongoing very open relationship, as he does with Ty, and I'm sorry I didn't discover this earlier to ask you, because we probably could have cleared it up without me asking you now, so I apologize for that. But in reviewing the memorandum of agreement, do you have it in front of you?
I don't. I don't have a copy of it.
Let's
right
get.
Now.
Can we get Skip a copy of the memorandum of agreement? So that does not look like.
No, these are the amendments.
You need to have. That still does not look like what I have.
Here, I got one.
Yeah. Okay.
I have a copy as well.
Sorry.
It's all right.
Okay. You got the full agreement. If you go down to Section D.
Mm-hmm.
And can you find it?
Recitals.
Section D. Is counsel following me?
Yep.
Section D. And let me try to see. Let's start on where it is. I. There's an I, and then there's two I's later, but right. In a manner that one, I would call it, best needs. Best meets the needs of the citizens of Portland, and two, is consistent with the party's desire to ensure the continued vitality of PAM's operations at the Rose Garden Arena, and in the words I'm going to read follow are my area of question and concern, and other facilities owned and operated by PAM. And I don't know, Skip, that you're necessarily the appropriate person to answer this, probably the mayor or maybe somebody else. But Mike, I want to first get on the record. PAM is otherwise known as the Trailblazers.
Right.
They have been, in my experience, tremendous partners, and I've had the opportunity to work closely with the management of the Trailblazers, including most recently Larry Miller, who I'm just beginning to get to know and get to know better. And he has been a man of his word, and not to mention, I'm going to repeat this and embarrass you every time you show up, so you just might as well get prepared for it. I brought him and St. Vincent's Hospital together to try to figure out a way how we could get automatic defibrillators installed in Portland high schools after a couple of tragic events of young students dying suddenly of cardiac arrest. And the Blazers, through Larry Miller, contributed the dollars to have them installed. As a former Portland firefighter who used to have to arrive at events like that, I appreciate greater than most the trauma that means, and I can't thank you enough for that. We have also had some misunderstandings that Larry was kind enough to come into the office recently and discuss with me, and I greatly appreciate that, Larry. So I want you to take what I'm going to ask in that context. What I'm concerned about is the particular language. Other facilities owned and operated by PAM mean the Memorial Coliseum. I mean, I infer that to mean the Memorial Coliseum.
It's true that the Blazers do have, or PAM has, an operating agreement under Memorial Coliseum, but it's the city owns the property. The Blazers do own, or PAM owns, a bunch of other parcels throughout the Rose Quarter.
That's correct.
And they have development rights to certain parcels as well.
But I'm not concerned about those. I'm only concerned. And so I'm going to read the whole, having pointed that out as a concern, I'm going to reread just the pertinent section. And the parties explore options to renovate or adaptively reuse the Memorial Coliseum in a manner that best meets the needs of the citizens of Portland and is consistent with the party's desire to ensure the continued vitality of PAM's operations at the Rose Garden Arena, which I have no problem with, and other facilities owned and operated by PAM. That is hitting me wrong because, and let me just say why. It feels as like though, even though the city of Portland, as this acknowledges, owns the Memorial Coliseum, and we contract with the Blazers to operate it for us, that we have created some foregone conclusion, notwithstanding that this memorandum also acknowledges that it's not binding, and I get that. But I also believe very much that written statements, whether they're legally binding or not, should truly reflect the intent of the parties. And this would appear to suggest that it is implied in this process that we are going to work to protect the interest of PAM to continue and own and operate the Memorial Coliseum, even if we independently determine through whatever process that we use that maybe some other operator would better serve the interests of the city of Portland and its citizens. Can you respond to that?
Yeah, I'll respond to that.
Okay.
Let's strike the words "and operated," and we'll be done with it.
I like how you do business.
I think it's, as you know, I'm putting these things together. There's lots of moving.
Absolutely.
Parts.
And again, I want to apologize for bringing this up here.
I'll take that as a motion.
Can I read it first? And so can we read it out loud?
So, and other facilities owned by PAM. So you take out the word.
Parties desire to ensure the continued vitality of PAM's operates the Rose Garden Arena and the other facilities owned by PAM. And it's clear that they have no ownership interest in the Coliseum. That's great. Second.
So as you used to say.
When you make the cell shut up.
No, when you've won and move on.
Make the cell and shut up. Okay.
Or snatching defeat from the jaws of victory.
You're the one that told me that phrase.
I did.
All right.
You're right.
May I just make a comment on the motion?
Of course.
I just want to say what a pleasure it is to have a lawyer on this
panel. Two lawyers.
Thank you, counselor, for a very close reading.
Some of my colleagues in the fire service chose to use their downtime to watch Days of Our Lives. I read law books.
Yeah, no, I think you caught something that maybe a number of us missed, so thank you. Thank you for that observation.
Thank you.
It's been moved and seconded. Unless there's additional council discussion, Carla, would you please call the roll on this amendment to strike the words "and operated" from section D, last second to the last sentence on page one?
Seltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Okay, so anybody missed it, we have five people up here who are really thinking about every single word in these contracts and raising issues even at the last minute, and I greatly appreciate
Thank
that.
You.
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams.
Good catch. Aye. All right. Any other initial amendments? All right. Then let's have some. Thank you, Skip. If I could have Larry come on up. And also Kia, why don't you come on up? And why don't we also have a representative from the Winterhawks? Do we have somebody here? Why don't you come on up? Welcome to the City Council. We're glad you're here. If you are a lobbyist, which includes being an employee of something with an economic interest in this issue, you need to declare that. And in this particular case, if you're not sure what that means, then go ahead and declare it.
I guess
like
I'll
the last
declare
panel,
it, yes.
If they weren't sure, I said that it probably doesn't. Don't worry about it. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah. go ahead and declare.
Yeah.
Yeah, I declare that I do have an interest in this.
And please give us your name and who you represent.
My name is Larry Miller, and I represent the Portland Trailblazers as well as PAM, which are kind of one and the same.
So please proceed.
Well, I do have a presentation that I was planning to take you through today.
Great.
But
did Nick Fish help you prepare it?
No, he didn't.
Then I'll stay and watch.
Did not. But before I actually...
I actually have a dental appointment tomorrow morning at 8 that I'll need
no,
to
No,
get
no,
to
no. It's brief.
Okay. All right.
But before I actually...
Ouch.
before I actually get into the presentation, first I want to say that we have no problem with any of the amendments that were approved today. So we're fine with the amendments.
Thank you.
Just to give a little bit of background, and I've kind of shared some time with all of you in the past, but and I've been with the Trailblazers now going on my third season. And when I first got here, one of the things that I spent some time looking at was the Rose Quarter. And when the Rose Garden was initially built, I think there was a vision for what the Rose Quarter could be at that point. And I think it was viewed as kind of this center of kind of sports and entertainment. And for a lot of reasons, that never materialized. In the last year and a half or so, we've kind of gone back and started to look at that vision and try to develop something that we thought worked for that area and for that neighborhood. And so in looking at it, we knew also one of the key components was Memorial Coliseum, and what happens with Memorial Coliseum was a big part of what we looked into. I just want to acknowledge again Commissioner Leonard's comment about the partnership that we've had with the city. I think the Portland Trailblazers and the city of Portland have had a great relationship over the years, and I think done some pretty amazing things over the years. So shortly after I got there, we started to look at we had a couple things that kind of happened that helped to formulate the vision that we currently are presenting. The first one was we were looking into an agreement for a company to operate our facilities. We had a company called Global Spectrum who were the operators of the facility for us, and we put out an RFP, and we had a company, AEG, came in, and they ended up actually getting the contract to manage our facilities. But in the process, we were made aware of the Cordish Group and kind of what Cordish Company and what they do. And we looked into what they do a lot more and decided that they would be what we thought were a good partner for us to work with in terms of looking at developing the Rose Quarter. I've spent a lot of time looking into what they do, who they are as a company, how they operate, what kind of developments they create. And we've come away really very impressed with what they do. They have in every one of the instances that I've looked at and that I've seen, they have definitely tailored each development to fit the community that development was going into. And so we definitely believe that and know that it would be the same having them involved in this development here. The other thing that I was able to look into, or we started to spend some time with Nike. For those who don't know, I spent 10 years working at Nike before I came to the Trailblazers. Still have some great relationships there. And we started to talk with Nike about the possibility of some further partnerships with them. And in the course of those conversations, the idea that Nike, we started to talk a little bit about our vision for development, and Nike expressed some interest in possibly being involved in that. And one of the things that they had been talking about and looking into was this idea of a Nike interactive center. They won't call it a museum because that's not how Nike is, but an interactive center. And so we talked about the idea of something like that being at the Rose Quarter. And one of the really cool ideas behind this, or cool concepts that came out behind this, is that Nike was actually conceived in that area. Phil Knight and Bill Bowerman were at a track meet in Memorial Coliseum, left the track meet, either walked outside or went across the street, had a conversation about starting the company, and shook hands right there and decided to start the company. So from our perspective, that's a great story that says this would make sense for Nike's first and only of its kind interactive center to be located here at the Rose Quarter. And we've had some really great discussions with them around that, and think that there's definitely the possibility and the opportunity to make that happen working with Nike. And so as we worked with Cordish and we've been talking with Nike, you know, our vision is really to transform the Rose Quarter into a vibrant neighborhood, a vibrant area that attracts people, not just when there's an event going on, but 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. That's really what we're looking for. And from a personal perspective, you know, I've lived in Portland for 18 years now, and for me, this is an opportunity to provide something or to do something that's going to bring something positive to the city, because I really think that if we can make this happen, if we can create this vision, it will really, you know, raise the city and also bring a lot of positive focus on the city. For those of you who, you know, don't believe it, the Trailblazers are definitely going to be in the finals and win a championship sometime in the near future. and we think that's going to put a major focus on this city, not just from around the country, but around the world. We think Portland is going to become a major focus based on what we're going to be doing with the Portland Trailblazers. And to have a venue like this that highlights the city and highlights what this city represents, not just in terms of entertainment and sports and music, but also sustainability and making sure that, you know, this becomes a showcase for the city of what a sustainable entertainment district can do and can look like. I know there have been numerous attempts in the past to do something at the Rose Quarter. We've been involved in numerous attempts to try to bring something to the Rose Quarter. But I think we feel right now we have the right partners, the right time, and that it's the right vision that we think we can really make this happen now and make something that's going to create and generate jobs, going to create revenue for the city, and again, turn this area that's only vibrant when there's an event going on into an area that can be vibrant 365 days a year. So with that, we had about 2 or 3 weeks ago, we had a kind of a charrette, a design and planning charrette that consisted of folks from Cordish, folks from Nike, and folks from the Trailblazers. And in that, we talked a lot about what we wanted to create. And we wanted to make sure that what we created was something that was of and for the city of Portland. And with that, we came up with what our vision is. And I'll take a second here and read this to you. But it says Jumptown. And I'll talk a little bit more about Jumptown and how we got to that in a minute. But Portland's rec room. So to the comment that was made earlier, we have a living room. We think Portland needs a rec room, and we think this should be it. A world-class mixed-use sports and entertainment district in one of Portland's most vibrant neighborhoods. We envision a vibrant community gathering place at the intersection of sports, music, and entertainment, one that pays homage to the rich musical heritage of Portland's East Side, representing world-class design and best practices in green construction and operations, the project will appropriately honor Oregon's veterans. It will embody the best of Portland's cultural past, present, and future through music events, a variety of residential, hotel, office space, diverse retail and restaurant amenities, and one-of-its-kind Nike Interactive experience. And so for us, this vision also creates some great jobs, we think, and it's also a stimulus for economic development in Portland's East Side. We think if we can, you know, get this development going, it will create and stimulate other economic development in Portland's East Side. So Jumptown. Why Jumptown? At this design and planning charrette that we had, we got into a lot of discussion about what working title we would give this project. And as we started to talk about it and look into it, where Memorial Coliseum is, where the Rose Garden is, was once a thriving community. It was an African-American community that there were a lot of clubs and jazz clubs, blues clubs, all in that neighborhood, and it was referred to as Jumptown. That's what it was kind of known as. And so as we started to look into this and talk about it, we thought that would be a great working title for us to put on this project, because we want to make sure that we, you know, pay homage to the heritage of that neighborhood, and not just in what we call it, but in what the development itself represents, that we want to make sure that we, you know, make sure we recognize the heritage of that particular neighborhood. So Jumptown will be vibrant, green, and a mixed-use community gathering place, and that's what we see Jumptown representing as we move forward with the development. The one of the things we've looked into or we've thought about as we worked on this is that this has to be a neighborhood that's going to be green and that's going to be not just sustainable in terms of building it, but also in its operating practices. As we operate this district, we want to make sure that we're doing it in the most sustainable way possible. And that's something that we definitely are focusing a lot on. Our partners have all bought into that concept, and we're definitely looking to move forward with the idea of this being the only of its kind green entertainment district anywhere in the world. So what we also came up with at this charrette were what we're referring to as some guiding principles. And we talked a lot about what we were going to do and what are the things that were going to help to guide us as we move through working on this development. And the first one is a deliberate tie to Northeast rich musical history. And I've talked a little bit about that. An economically sustainable business model that creates a new destination in the Rose Quarter, creates jobs, and also instills civic pride in that neighborhood, in that part of the city. Architecture and urban planning appropriate for the location and use of the district, its facilities, and diverse customers. You know, one of the things we know is that there are a lot of folks who come through that area. There are a lot of there's a lot of activity that goes on in that area, and there are a lot of people living in that neighborhood, and we want to make sure that we connect to those folks. A project that is seamlessly connected to what's already there in terms of transportation, layout, and use. So, you know, we've got Broadway Bridge that lands you right there in that area. We've got the MAX that comes right there to that area. Convention Center is, you know, adjacent to that area. So how do we connect all of that and use the things that are there to make sure that we are supporting that entire neighborhood? Best-in-class green building and operating practices that showcase Portland's sustainable values to the rest of the country. And like I said, we know there's going to be a spotlight on the city based on what our team is going to be doing, and to have that spotlight point out the fact that this is a one-of-its-kind, world-class project. And then the project that entertains, inspires, and energizes the community. For us, that's a big deal, that we think we can create something here that will energize the community and that will definitely be a major part of what this community looks at going forward. So, you know, meaningful public involvement and community outreach will be our guide in this process. So we're going to continue to make sure we connect with the community.
I want to reserve my objection to this slide, which I find shameless. Shameless.
Well, you know,
you need to know that for 2.5 hours, everybody yelled at me during this meeting. So. I don't know that it's shameful or it's just sort of a painful reminder.
Well, we kind of caught your good side.
It's part
there
of the fabric of the community.
I think we kind of caught your good side there too, Mayor.
Yes, you did.
But one of the things that we plan to do with this project is to lead by listening. So basically, our approach to this is going to be listen to the community, listen to the neighbors, listen to the businesses, listen to the people that are already in that neighborhood and throughout the city, and make sure that this project, like I said before, is for Portland and by Portland. And that we know is going to come from having the right public involvement. And from our perspective, the quality of our public involvement is going to dictate the quality of the project that we come out with. So if we have a quality process to get involvement, to get feedback, to get input from the community, from the neighborhoods, then we think that's going to lead to us having a quality product project at the end of that. So that was my last slide. I'd like to just finish up by saying that, you know, Portland has a proud tradition of forward-looking projects and projects that make our community better, and we think that we have an opportunity here to create another one. We're excited about this opportunity and definitely look forward to partnering with the city, with the community, with the neighborhood to create something that we think Portland can absolutely be proud of. So, again, I'd like to thank you for your support, partnership, and just say that we appreciate the opportunity to put this proposal in front of you and to continue to work on trying to create and realize this vision that we have for the Rose Quarter. Questions?
Just a comment, if I could. Larry, Commissioner Leonard and I are working on taking a look at the Campbell Memorial, which is the firefighters memorial in this community, which is one of our really sacred spaces. And he is the fire commissioner, is taking the lead. I'm the parks commissioner and can potentially play a role. But we're asking the question, is the current site the right site, or is there a better site? So I'm pleased that in the MOU that question has been posed. Is this the right place to honor veterans, a place that, frankly, too few people anymore seem to know about and perhaps is not maintained to the standards we would all like to see? Or is there another location where there can be more honor given? So that's something I think you're going to have. There's a lot of receptivity to that here. Second, the notion that it's rooted in the history and that it isn't some cookie-cutter concept that is being imported to Portland, I think is important, and I appreciate the work you've done to communicate that, because that I think is a game changer for a lot of people if it's rooted here and not something that's just been tried elsewhere and dropped here. But the third thing is, since Randy was slobbering over you earlier, and I see Jay Isaac over here who was feeling neglected, I just want to say that when the challenge grant was issued on the Save the Washington Park Festival, you know, we had 1 week, the first organization to step up and put money on the table was the Trailblazers, and that was Jay. So thank you very much for your support, and it is back, and it's better than ever, and thanks for your partnership on that.
Well, if I could just respond a little bit to the Veterans Memorial. For us, the way we're looking at this is we want to enhance the Veterans Memorial, and whether it's still within the Rose Quarter or it's somewhere else, we feel like making sure that the memorial to our veterans is actually enhanced. And I totally agree with you. I think right now a lot of people don't even know it's there and, you know, probably hasn't been kept up as it should be. And I just think whether we continue to have it at Memorial Coliseum or at the Rose Quarter or move it somewhere else, it definitely needs to be enhanced. And the other comment I'd like to make in response to Cordish and what they do, I kind of, and I mentioned this when I talked to some of you guys, but I kind of fancy myself as somewhat of a marketer, right? I think I've done a fairly decent job. I've worked with some pretty decent companies and people and brands over the years. And to me, not only from the perspective of whatever we do would have to be, you know, of and for Portland, but it only makes business and marketing sense to make sure that that's the case, because otherwise we would be looking to develop something here that's not going to work, that's not going to be successful. And I think, you know, having the opportunity to connect with the community, connect with the neighborhoods, get feedback, and make sure that whatever we are creating is not something that worked in another city, but something that's going to work specifically for Portland. And then to your third point, Jay does a great job.
Thank you. Commissioner Fritz.
And I think it's worth repeating that the Blazers do so much good in our community, and rightfully you don't toot your own horn about that, but it's important for us to recognize that. I didn't know that you had helped fund the defibrillators, which one of the young men who died had played with one of my sons. And so it's really encouraging to me to know that those defibrillators are now in the schools. And then similarly, thank you for helping to sponsor the Riverfest this year. There's so many things that happen in Portland that the Blazers support, either with your personnel or with your funds, and I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Probably go on thanking you for a variety of contributions that you've made over the years, but our thanks are sincere, but we do need to move on. And one of the key tenets of the Rose Quarter, specifically Memorial Coliseum, are the great Winter Hawks, and so we wanted to give you some time as well, sir, to tell us your thoughts.
Thank you. My name is Doug Piper. I'm the president of the Portland Winter Hawks, and if I may, I'd like to start by saying, Larry, that was an incredible presentation, and I know there's kind of a David and Goliath relationship between the Blazers and the Winterhawks, but if that's the kind of show you put on for an MOU meeting, then...
We're David, right?
Yeah. That's the kind of presentation you do at an MOU referendum meeting. Yeah, I'm over here with my shadow puppets. But now I know what I'm up against. The reason I mention that is, part of the reason that I'm here today is, I'm wearing a lot of hats as president of the Winter Hawks. Not only are we tenants in the building, but we're leaseholders. We lease from the Blazers. They're our landlord, and we have, I think, a very good relationship. Jay and I worked a long time together, and it's gone very well. And We're also a business in this community that's affected by what happens with the Memorial Coliseum. We office there, and we have our locker rooms and training facilities and so on there. So this is an important issue to us, and one of the things that we're here to talk a little bit about is to find out how this all works in terms of the Blazers' role and the role of the other potential participants in bringing forth ideas and proposals for the Memorial Coliseum. And if we can get some clarification on that, we're ready to play a few different roles potentially in this process. But I have a prepared statement I'd like to read first, and then I'll get back to my comments. First and foremost, I'd like to thank the Winterhawks would like to thank Mayor Adams and the City Council for instituting the public process to determine the ultimate best use of the Memorial Coliseum. We believe the 33 years the Winterhawks have been a tenant in the Coliseum makes us one of the largest stakeholders in the ultimate fate of the building, and we're excited as anyone to see the building brought back to its former glory and made to best serve the needs of the citizens of the region. Now that it's been determined that a public process will be used to entertain ideas for the best use of the Coliseum, the Winterhawks want to play a significant role in being part of the solution. To this end, we are exploring several options, including having had discussions with Doug Oblitz and his MARC project and incorporating some ideas into what he's doing. We've also had significant conversations with Jay Isaac and Pam and the Blazers about what they're doing, and much to our happiness, I guess is the right word, we seem to be on parallel paths in terms of what we think may be the right use for this building. But part of my job is also to look at all the options at this juncture for my organization, and we feel that one of the options that we want to explore is perhaps being a proposer about what happens with the Coliseum. And we feel that we would like to maybe be a part of that process, but at the same time, we think we need to understand a little bit more about it. When the MOU came out, we had a few questions, at this juncture, I guess what's important to us is to understand how the playing field works. And Mayor, you opened the statements by saying that there's going to be a lot of opportunity for people to come forward, and they wouldn't have any better or worse position with against Pam in this process. But one of the questions that comes out of all this is, it's one thing to bring forward a proposal and have it be approved as to what happens to the building. It's another question as to who's going to operate the building. And if Pam is going to be the operator under any circumstances, and if that's what the contracts say, and I'm not sure they do, but I'm saying if that's the case, and I know that that's what they would want, it's what I would want if I was in their position, because they don't want to have a competing building on their campus. But it changes the playing field for us, because for my owner to put in millions of dollars in private equity into a project like this, we would need to have some sort of operating opportunity with that building. So if you guys are telling us that you're going to carve out the Coliseum and that anybody can come forward with a plan to redevelop it and operate it in conjunction with, and by the way, we are so all for what Larry and Jay and the Blazers are doing with the whole plan for the Rose Quarter. It's perfect for us. How could we not want that to happen? And if it turns out that the Coliseum is for sure going to be part of their whole structure, then we'll find a way to work with that. But I'm not going to miss an opportunity to play in this game if it's going to be open and fair for everybody. And I don't think Jay or Larry would mind a little competition from us on this. But if it doesn't go that way and we don't get it and we end up being a tenant with the Blazers and the building gets used for something that we can use it for, and it's not a foregone conclusion that the building will be used for a spectator facility. As a matter of fact, some of the language in this document talks about it not being used for a spectator facility unless it's approved by Pam. So my point is if you guys can give me some assurances and some clarification that it's worth our while to take a run at this, my owner is prepared to spend the money it will take to do a PowerPoint presentation and get the architects going and come up with a great plan and present it, and then we'll take our chances with everybody else. But if what I saw in the MOU, and I know that the Blazers have a lot of rights about what happens on the Rose Quarter, if it's not feasible, then okay, we just want to know that so we don't waste right. our time.
You've said it a couple times, so let me Sorry. Try to address it. Okay. I understand it's a point of concern and passion for you, and you've got a big economic interest, and a number of stakeholders have big economic interest in this process. And part of my opening statement was to talk about how PAM will be a proposer for Memorial Coliseum on equal footing, no more than, no less, with all other potential proposers. And that includes, so part of the proposals will be, I assume, who's going to operate Memorial Coliseum, and you're going to be on equal footing with the Blazers. That's a clear part of this process. And they have agreed voluntarily to modify or waive some of the contractual expectations and understandings that exist on the books right now. So you'll have a chance to pitch to the Stakeholder Advisory Committee, not only in terms of what you want to do potentially with Memorial Coliseum, but also how you propose to operate it.
Based on your word, then that's terrific for us.
We want competition as well. It's in the best interest of the taxpayers.
Yeah. Yeah, and what may happen is we have good ideas, they have good ideas, maybe it all marries together, and we would love to see that happen too. But we just want to know if it's worth our while to go through this process. And we haven't made the decision that we will, because we have to run some numbers. We right. just want to know if it's something we should explore.
But, Doug, what I just heard was, yes, it is worth your while.
Okay. We want competition. The reason we've set it up, and I do want to give credit where credit's due, and the Blazers have been very open to this. They've got to propose like anybody else, and they have the right at first proposal is the existing contract with the city, and they've agreed to participate, compete along with everybody else. So you'll face the inquiry of the Stakeholder Advisory Committee, the Planning Commission, the Design Commission, the Landmarks Commission, the Portland Development Commission.
And then us.
If you don't give up,
Amanda.
And ultimately, it is your elected.
Which should be your biggest fear.
And ultimately, we the city council, majority of the city council, will decide.
I have a clarifying question on to that, because the MOU says that one of the approval criteria for whatever happens should be consistent with, and one of the what's supposed to be consistent with is Section 15.3 of the Memorial Coliseum Operating Agreement of 1993, mm-hmm. which says no competing facilities.
Right.
So I'm guessing that's where your concern is.
It's one of them.
The MOU doesn't necessarily say what you just said.
Right. So,
well, and the other one thing that should be looked at since we're on the subject is...
Well, before we move that subject, let's...
Okay, sorry, go ahead.
So the reason, since there are so many moving parts on this, part of the reason that the way this is written is to direct me to come up with the final memorandum of understanding, which will be vetted as a draft before I approve it in final form, will be to make sure what I just said is absolutely... memorialized in the eventual MOU.
Okay, so if we have any comments, we can just email them over, and if you like them, great, and whatever. Okay, fine, no problem.
And who is their contact person, Skip?
It's Amy Ruiz. Oh, it's Skip. It's now Skip.
I'd just like to comment that in our development of our vision, we have considered the needs of the Winterhawks in that development. So I think that there's not a situation where we develop our vision and the Winterhawks are out in the cold. That's not our plan or our thinking at all in this situation.
No, I agree with that, and that they've been very good about it, and we have no complaints. We're just trying to figure out if economically it could be better for us if we became the operator of this building, made it our home permanently and all that.
Well, and that,
nothing against them.
And that part, I will say, is something we're going to have to talk about and think about, because mm-hmm. you know, part of the idea is, and this came up when we were talking about the ballpark being there. There was a similar issue that came up, and we kind of were able, I think, to work through it. But this would be something that we'd have to kind of talk through and figure our way through. Because,
And as somebody who will be chairing the Stakeholder Advisory Committee, we'll be looking to make sure there's good competition. But obviously on this issue, we're looking for good cooperation as well. So you might be both a proposer alone, and you might have a co-proposal with Pam.
Yep.
So there are lots of, we're looking for the best approach here.
We agree.
Kiev, it's really appropriate that you're sitting between these two. What would you like to highlight for us today? Introduce yourself, please.
Kiev Sally, Portland Development Commission. I am the Senior Development Advisor for the Rose Quarter Project. And I don't have a lengthy presentation today, but I do want to say that the Portland Development Commission is very excited to proceed with this project in coordination with our city partners. We've been working very closely with your staff, Mr. Mayor, and with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, and we'll be engaging other city partners as appropriate on a technical advisory committee. We're also very excited about working with the broader community, the Stakeholder Advisory Committee, which you mentioned earlier, and of course, Portland Arena Management. So this area, definitely it's time for redevelopment at the Rose Quarter. We have committed partners, and the community is very passionate about breathing new life into the Memorial Coliseum. We need to do all of this work before 2013. That's when the urban renewal area actually sunsets. So we need to work expeditiously, and I'll be looking to all of you to help us balance a very intensive, transparent, inclusive public process with the need to work quickly to get design and planning underway. I also want to note that we have a couple of other project risks. One is this project will require a lot of public investment, potentially more than what we currently have available, so we'll need to apply a lot of creativity and innovation in that area. And we'll also need to ensure that we end up with a full Rose Quarter developed as opposed to just looking at a renovated or adaptively reused Memorial Coliseum. So again, we want to make sure that we really leverage all of those public investments that we have made so far and that we connect to the vibrant adjacent neighborhoods to realize the full vision of the Rose Quarter.
And I know I speak on behalf of my mayor's office staff team when I thank you for the fantastic job you're doing on this in a short amount of time and really facilitating the intra-bureau cooperation. Really appreciate it. Additional council questions or discussion?
Just wanted to comment that I'm certainly committing the Office of Neighborhood Involvement and the Office of Human Relations to work with you. We have excellent facilitators and would be more than happy to help with the public process.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Thank you all very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. How many people have signed up?
No one else signed up.
Does anyone else wish to testify on this issue? All right. Would you please call the roll?
Leonard?
I look forward to this process very much, having worked with both parties in various capacities, not so much Doug Piper, but the predecessors, the predecessor ownership team of Doug Piper, who was actually the president of the Winter Hawks, and the new owner, who is Bill Gallagher. Without going into detail, I will only say that I'm sure the Blazers and I agree that we greatly appreciate the brand new, fresh approach of the ownership team and management team that this that the group headed by Doug Piper brings to Portland. So I'm looking forward very much, having known Jay for quite a while and knowing like Jay very much as everybody does. But I'm really appreciating the new relationship I'm developing with Larry Miller and the excitement around which he made his presentation inspired me. And lately it's hard to get me inspired about much of anything, and so you did a really good job. I look forward to these next few months. Please feel free to call on me, either of you or any of you, at any time in this process to assist in any way I can. Aye.
Fritz. Well, as most people know, I've been quite skeptical about spending taxpayers' money on sports and entertainment, and I'm really excited about this project. I think it really does give us an opportunity for family-wise jobs ongoing 24/7, 365. I'm equally, I think, excited about the evident partnerships, as Commissioner Leonard referred to, the collaborative approach of all of the different organizations. And particularly with Mayor Adams' leadership, and putting this on the agenda as a public document that's going to be amended, having a public hearing on it so that people could come and comment, and Commissioner Leonard's amendment, which makes it even better. This is the way that we should be doing business, and this is the way that we are doing business. It is in an open and transparent and inclusive manner, and I'm happy to hear that over 100 people applied for the stakeholder committee. Looking forward to seeing the selections and to participating in that process, because I would hope that all five members of the council will be participating in one way or another ongoing on this. And recognizing that we do have a deadline, as was mentioned by the PDC representative, that that's part of maybe why this is the right time, that we have to get things done in the Rose Quarter by the end of the Urban Renewal District and build on the good work that's been done in the past, not putting it aside, but recognizing that there have been many planning processes, but at this point it's now or never, and I think that there's a new engagement of the citizenry as well as of the council to make this the now for the Rose Quarter and really make something that Portland can be proud of. I'm also very glad to see very clearly in this proposed agreement and resolution that the Memorial Coliseum is looked at for reuse and adaptive uses, and that the question of whether or not the Memorial Coliseum is of value seems to have been resolved at this point, and that we agree that we like the Memorial Coliseum. We want to see it used, we want to see it valued, and we want to see the veterans valued and honored in the best way possible, whether that's keeping the wall there or moving it elsewhere. The veterans need to be part of that process, of the process, and of the feeling of the new district. I had not been aware of its working title of Jump Town and of the history of that word, and it seems very fitting that it brings both the athletic and the jazz and the history of that process. We need to make sure that we include the Elliott Neighborhood Association and the African American community in planning this new part of Portland, and I'm confident that that's exactly what we're going to do. Aye.
Fish.
Well, first I just want to say that before I moved to this community, I, like a lot of people who followed sports, knew Portland mostly by the shots that the NBA used to begin games, where they zeroed in on Memorial Coliseum, and then would go inside and you'd watch the games, and that's sort of how I knew Portland before I ever discovered Portland. And Commissioner Leonard and I have a small disagreement about the aesthetic merits of this building. I've always loved it, but I've also said that my taste or his taste isn't what drives it, that there should be a process to actually think through this. And I think we've got it just right. And I know, Sam, you've put a lot of time in this, and we kidded you about the photograph in here, but there have been a few bumps in the road, and the way we judge these things is not by that portion of the timeline, but the outcome. And we now have teed this up in a way that I think is very promising. So I thank you for your leadership and for your team. On the question of this site, over the weekend, my wife and my son and I went down to Vera Katz Esplanade. We walked south, and then we came back. And it's just an incredible place to be if you love urban walks and scenery. And actually, we got to a fire station. The truck was out. Some firefighter actually gave the hose to my son, who then hosed me down, which I did not fully appreciate. But I'm no longer the commissioner, so there could be no repercussions.
One wouldn't know that.
I'm trying to stay
from you.
Positive.
Okay, sorry.
The chair would take a tighter reins over this meeting. I could, but the recently a number of us took walks the other direction because the folks in North Portland want to have a greenway, North Portland Greenway, and that would go from the Rose Quarter all the way to UP, and so something really wonderful is happening at that site, and you've also got. You know, a franchise on the rise, and Central City Concern recently closing on a piece of property in the Mills. We're going to have affordable housing and some partnerships there. And the next piece is to think about how we create an integrated community with housing and jobs, and something that is more than an occasional entertainment district. And I think this provides a roadmap. So. You know, I want to say that we've got the right partners. It's the time to do this, and I'm very excited about what's being proposed, and look forward to all the creative energy, And Larry, I don't think you mentioned it when you said that you had some background in marketing, but I think you had something to do with Michael Jordan and his success. So that's pretty amazing. And if we get this thing right, we can activate a part of the city that just for a long time has been needing a little bit of a boost, but I think will take off and become a place that we spend a lot of time. So thanks for all the good work that led up to this, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Adams.
Well, thank you for the kind words. I want to make sure that I pass them along to the folks in my office that have played a key role, Skip Newberry and Amy Ruiz, who have worked very hard on this issue and other issues. Thank you for your great work. More to come. I want to thank the council for their involvement and consideration of this. It's going to take all of us, and I'm pleased that we're getting going. Thank you. Aye. It's approved. All right. The next item, can you please read the title for Time Certain Council Calendar item? It's a presentation, 1145.
Northwest Institute for Social Change Student Projects.
All right. Portland is the home. Coming up, fellas. Mr. Bussey, nice to see you. Thanks for waiting.
Of course.
Portland is the home to the Northwest Institute for Social Change, created by our own Phil Bussey, a summer program that teaches college students how to utilize cutting-edge media to advocate for solid progressive public policy. In partnership with the University of Oregon, the Portland Community Media, students work through the summer on audio and video projects that showcase Portland's own local solutions to larger problems. This year, students have done audio projects about the Northeast Portland Tool Library, the Community Cycling Center's Create a Commuter Program, the Open Meadow Alternative School in North Portland, the Returning Veterans Project, Hot Lips Pizza Sustainability Efforts. I suppose you'd eat a lot of pizza for that one. Someone out there is very creative. I like that. And the Rebuilding Center's contribution to recycling and reuse. They've also done short films featuring the Grow Lunch Garden, a half-acre site on Savi Island that gives students hands-on experience with food production and healthy eating. The Youth Oregon Disability Association, which provides entrepreneurial training to youth with disabilities, and Proud Ground, which works with community partners to create affordable home ownership opportunities for low and moderate income first-time homebuyers. I'm pleased to introduce Phil Bussey, who is in turn going to tell us a little bit more about this year's great projects. Mr. Bussey.
Thank you, Mayor. I appreciate the opportunity to allow our students to show off some of the documentaries that they've produced over the summer. Each year we recruit 12 politically interested students from across the country, from Colby, University of Chicago, from Reed, Whitman, bring them to Portland, and they use Portland as their laboratory to find out things that Portland's doing right. And in turn, as Mayor Adams explained, produce documentaries. They figure out how to use media tools to create some positive effect on public policy. And in turn, what we've added this year is that the students now will take these documentaries and present them to city councils around the country with the hopes of showing things that Portland's doing right and hopefully inspire those city councils in Minneapolis and St. Paul and Madison and Boulder and Berkeley, Cambridge, to perhaps consider similar ideas. It's been a remarkable summer again, and this program wouldn't be possible without Portland, not only for the programs and some of the projects that City Council has sponsored and made possible, but also for the nonprofits that are here, and also just for the community support that we get. Adrian Flagg, who's the director of the Interstate Firehouse, she hosts one of the students. Philip Stanton, who's the owner of Mississippi Pizza, he hosts one of the students. We have amazing people in the community. Josh, who has just relocated here from New York and hit the ground running with helping the students produce the films. And all sorts of people throughout the community come together and help these students. So all told, 6 audio documentaries, 3 videos, which we'll have a chance to watch right now. And again, this is things that Portland's doing right. The first one is, last year the students made one about backyard chicken coops, something close to home for some of us. And this year the students decided to do one about community gardens, the idea being 4 students, one from McAllister, one from Vassar, from St. Olaf and Colby College, all came together, made a 5-minute documentary about community gardens. And what they hope to do, and you'll see the call to action at the end, is that city councils will find unused property, make it available for community gardens, in part to create healthier,